Hello, Mighty Mamas. Welcome to the Mighty Mom Podcast. This is where you will find the tools and resources to help you nurture your mind, body, and soul through the beautiful and challenging transitions in motherhood. We are on a mission to show you how to ditch burnout and overwhelm, trade self-doubt for confidence, and learn how to put yourself first to thrive throughout motherhood. I'm Katie Oster, and I'm a holistic self-care specialist for moms. I show mothers how to nurture themselves and make themselves a priority so they can shift from surviving to thriving in motherhood.
And I'm Kaylee McClellan, and I'm a self-care coach for moms. I support moms while they learn how to make themselves a priority in motherhood so they can reclaim their sense of self and begin to nurture their body, mind, and soul. All right, today we have Justine on the show. Justine is the founder of 20 Toes Fitness. She has a Bachelor's of Applied Science in the field of public health and is also a personal training specialist, pre- and postnatal fitness specialist, precision nutrition level 1 coach, Bellies Incorporated certified trainer, and pregnancy and postpartum athleticism coach. Justine helps busy women navigate the middle ground between the all or nothing mindset when it comes to nutrition, fitness, and mindset by giving them the tools they need to feel strong, empowered, and confident in their own skin. She is also a mom to 2 adorable, exhausting kiddos. Wow. Thank you so much for being here, Justine. You have so much to offer us.
Thank you.
Yep.
So we've been following your story a little bit and absolutely love how you encourage action over outcome in your personal training practice. So what does it mean to you to support action over outcome?
Yeah, definitely. Action over outcomes is definitely one of my main philosophies. And I would say it's really very much about reframing the way that we look at our goals. Mm-hmm. So it's about enjoying the journey and sort of being present and looking for those little micro successes along the road to that bigger end goal. And, you know, we can't really control the outcome necessarily. We can't really control the end goal, but mm-hmm. what we can control are our actions and our behaviors. Mm-hmm. So my goal is to get the women that I work with to sort of reframe the way that they look at their goals and make those little behavior goals the things that they are celebrating, the things that they, you know, those little boxes that we check every day. Those are the goals that we need to focus on because those are the goals that ultimately get us towards those larger outcomes. So, mm-hmm. you know, spending a lot of energy wishing and wanting for the bigger outcomes, they aren't necessarily in our control, but we can control our actions. And so that's what I try to stay focused on and really just enjoying the journey instead of waiting for it to be over.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that love so cool? That.
Yeah.
It really keeps you like in the moment, present. And I love how, because I don't know, if I was ever thinking about like an outcome that I wanted to reach, you feel like a failure until you reach the outcome. And how's that going to motivate you to keep on going if you just always are losing 100%. Until you've reached the goal?
100%. And so, I mean, that's what it is. It's like getting these little sort of micro goals under your belt, feeling what those little successes feel like. And then those things start to snowball. So, you know, it may sound like nothing to say, I'm going to start my day with a glass of water. But when you start to focus on starting every day with a glass of water, the decisions that you make after that are going to be better and more in line with your goals. And so when you just stay focused on that one little thing, the outcomes, they'll start to snowball.
That's amazing. It's recognizing, right? Recognizing those little choices that you make. And if you make a lot of them, they end up being a huge choice that you make for your life for the better, you know? So I really, really, really love that. I mean, I think the one that comes straight to my mind is diet and how, you know, so many times we have this goal in mind to lose 50 pounds before our brother's wedding in a month, you know, and you just focus on that and it's maybe not always realistic or healthy or what have you. And then it just, you know, usually the result is almost like 360. And yeah, you feel like Katie said, you failed and you don't really know where to go from there.
Well, that's it. I mean, weight loss is a great example. Excuse me. Weight loss is a great example because, you know, say you have this goal of losing 20 pounds or 50 pounds or whatever it is, you truthfully don't get to dictate your metabolism. Mm. But what you can control are the behaviors that might get you to that goal. So you can work on being more active, moving your body more, drinking more water, eating more vegetables, focusing on protein, taking your vitamins, getting more sleep. Those are the things that you can control. So you can't really control when you're going to reach that ultimate goal, but you can control the actions that you take every day.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And start creating those positive habits. And sometimes they start small, and that's okay, right?
That, truthfully, I feel like that is the thing that gets you more long-term and sustainable success. Mm. Anything that is going to be really drastic is most likely not going to be long-lasting. Mm-hmm. It's funny, I was talking about this in my 365 tribe just yesterday. We were talking about the idea of going full out and giving your, giving your full focus and your full intensity and your full energy. And there's only a limited amount of time that you can truthfully sustain that for. So you do that, say, for like a week, but then for the rest of the year, you're totally, you know, like you're unable to sustain that pace. So you end up feeling like you're, you know, like you're failing, or you're just not really getting anywhere. Whereas if you take a different approach and you just focus on being 1% better, 1% better, 1% better every single day, then that stuff builds. And that's how you actually get those long-term and more sustainable results when it comes to health and wellness.
Wow. And it really does have to be customized per person, doesn't it? Because yeah. I feel like there's not this one cookie cutter plan. Like if we are talking about weight loss, I mean, there's mm-hmm. lots of different things we want to cover with talking to you, but that's one aspect that I think a lot of us think about. There's not one plan that's going to work for everyone, and it has to fit your personal lifestyle as well. So
I 100% agree with that. And that has to do with anything, you know, forget about weight loss, but just like improving your health in general, getting stronger, any of those types of bigger goals, you know, you're going to need to figure out how to fit those actions into your lifestyle in a way that works for you. And that's always my goal, is to sort of figure that out in the context of each person's own lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Is this what you do with your 365 tribe?
Yeah, so 365 Tribe is it's a group online program, and it's sort of like a monthly membership program. And we focus exactly on consistency and taking action over outcomes, and really just improving our health one little bit at a time. So this group is not about fat loss or weight loss. It's very much more focused on action-oriented, habit-based healthful living.
Nice. You find that that starts to like shift more awareness to appreciating their body and where it's at, like in the moment, instead of being like success only looks like something. It can,
I definitely think so. But I also do think that, you know, the women who work with me are open to working on that mindset stuff. They're open to, you know, not just being committed to fat loss or weight loss. They really want to just like build a better, healthier lifestyle and get a little bit stronger. So for sure, yes. I do think that, you know, having that support, whether it's a coach or a group of women who all are kind of thinking along that same philosophy, it's helpful, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I think that the kind of talk that you surround yourself with matters and definitely has a huge influence on how you feel about your body. And definitely.
Mm, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, all of these kind of tools and choosing action over outcome, I mean, it can apply to every aspect of our life.
Oh, 100%. Right? I mean, whether it comes down to like, my daughter wanted to learn to jump rope for hard, and she was like, I'm the only kid who doesn't know how. Well, the way that you learn to do it is by showing up every day and like just trying, you know, trying even when you feel like you're failing, mm-hmm. Just showing up and trying for the sake of trying. And that's what it's all about. It's all about forgetting that you can't do it now. You can't do it yet. You'll do it eventually, but you got to put in the reps. You got to put in the time and show up and practice and practice and feel like you're failing and practice anyways.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause I mean, I think so many times we want to just be good at something right away. You know, we want the instantaneous, the benefit or gratification or results or whatever, you know? And I think sometimes we don't have the patience, and I'm speaking for myself too. Like I don't always have the patience or the time, you know, to allow myself to grow or to get to where I want to go. Cause you really, like you said, you got to put the time in it. You got to put the energy into it, and you have to be gentle on yourself and do it.
I agree. Yeah. You got to be kind to yourself and you got to be patient. And I think that that stuff, is particularly true when it comes to being postpartum.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So yeah, let's talk a little bit about postpartum and how we've started to notice that culturally and in the media, there's a bit of a pressure to bounce back after you have your baby and get that pre-baby body back and get back at them. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot to say there. I think that you're right that, you know, depending on where you get your media or where you hang out on social media, there is a lot of pressure, and obviously, it's unrealistic and it's harmful. I think you guys both have kids. I have two kids and, you know, going through it ourselves, we know it's unrealistic. Mm-hmm. And, I think that we are lucky, you know, as in my role as a fitness professional, and definitely for you guys, like we get the privilege of changing the conversation, right? Mm-hmm. We get the privilege of changing the conversation from fat loss and weight loss to, you know, talking about the long game and being patient with ourselves and being kind to ourselves. And, you know, how do we support our bodies better today, and talking about how we feel instead of just how we look, you know, talking about different sorts of issues. And I think, you know, as much as there is pressure out there in the media, we are kind of also living in a time where there is this like energy around postpartum health. And there's so much more knowledge than there was, for instance, when, you know, when my daughter was born 7 years ago, you know, diastasis recti or like certain things that are very spoken about now weren't even on the map. And so I think we're very fortunate that the conversation has shifted and is shifting. And when you surround yourself with the right people, you get to be part of that conversation.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I'm finding that's what's been really cool about the Instagram world. I mean, I'm super new to it. I've only kind of tuned in since joining with the Mighty Mom movement. But yeah, there's lots of women who are, you know, sharing pictures of their postpartum bodies and saying, this is real life, this is motherhood, this is what it looks like, you know? So It's really beautiful to see women and mothers start to open up and share, you know, their stories, their body love journeys, and just kind of meet everybody in this one place, you know? So
it's true. And listen, it's not like the truth is it's not always easy. It's often very messy. It's challenging. It takes time. There's a lot of time after you have a baby where your body doesn't necessarily feel like your own. And I think that we just have to remember and keep shifting the conversation that sometimes taking things slow is actually the faster route. Mm-hmm. And when we rush to, I'm doing air quotes, like get your body back, that you're doing yourself a disservice because, you know, you got to think about where your mindset is at. And if you want to build a strong foundation and, you know, feel great in your day to day and not feel more exhausted and more worn down, then it's all about playing the long game and, you know, taking those little micro steps and realizing that sometimes slow is the fastest route.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's like acknowledging where your body is now and accepting it, but still, it's still okay if you want to, I don't know if improve is the right word, you know, but if you want to be more mindful about what you're eating or you want to mindfully introduce exercise, it's not saying that you don't love your body right now. That in a sense is kind of a way to show your body some love. Is that right in your perspective?
Yeah. I mean, so this is the way I look at it. Like, obviously I want to shift the conversation away from, you know, fat loss or like major strength goals or like being a badass right after you have a baby. You know, I want to shift the conversation away from that and I acknowledge that it's not my job to tell people what their goals are.
Mm-hmm.
So right. I think that, you know, you come from your own perspective, and maybe someone was extremely athletic before they got pregnant, and so they have these major goals. And so it's my job to sort of listen to them and do my best to give them what they need and also what they want, and trying to sort of like walk that line in a way that I feel good about, that I'm supporting them in a way that that makes sense for their long-term health.
Mm, that makes, yeah, no, I love that. Absolutely love that. So tell us a little bit more about your own personal journey. So you're a mompreneur with two kids, ages 4 and 7. How mm-hmm. do you honor your body and move when you're not working?
So it's interesting because I would say that in the past, a few years ago, a bulk of my exercise actually did come from my job. And I found that to be extremely exhausting. You know, if I was working out in all of the classes I was teaching at the time, or being very active with my clients, and it was exhausting. And it truthfully, like I was always sort of saying to myself, how am I going to do this again next week? How am I going to do this again next week? And I actually took a step back from that. And, now I really work hard on separating my own movement from my client's movement. And I really go out of my way to move my body every day. And that doesn't necessarily always mean a workout. I mean, the truth is, if I work out 4 days a week, I think that's amazing. I walk every single day. I go out of my way to walk my kids to and from school, to run errands on foot, to get as many steps as I can. You know, if I to do mobility work, to just try to move my body in little bits and increments, and that feels good for me. And then when I do work out 3 to 4 days a week, it's short and intense, and you know, and that makes it something that I can maintain. I don't work out for 60 minutes when I do, you know, when I show up to work out, I work out for 20 to 30 minutes. And I just really try to put a lot of intensity into those 20 or 30 minutes. And that doesn't even have to be at a gym. I work out at my house. I work out in my garage. You don't need a gym membership and 60 minutes, 6 days a week to get stronger or to, you know, improve your mood or to maintain. You don't need that. So I just do my best with what I can and move my body as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Yeah, no, me too. And it's just like, again, going back to what you were saying at the beginning, it's recognizing the exercise and maybe the movements that you can choose in each moment. It's taking the stairs instead of the elevator, mm-hmm. you know, it's going for a walk around the block with your kid. And, you know, it's just seeing those moments as something you're choosing to do for your body. And that is taking action in the now, you know, because I know for myself, I used to love going for runs and working out at the gym. Well, it's just not as feasible in my life anymore. And does that mean I just throw in the towel and say, oh, to hell with it, you know? Or do I just make little choices every day that maybe they're not what I could do before or have time to do before, but it's just a different way of looking at, I guess, exercise and movement.
100%. And you know what? I think that once you get into, you know, if you're interested in doing shorter, more intense workouts and you start to see how effective that is, then you almost wonder like, why did I torture myself with hours of cardio? Or like, why did I think I had to work out for an hour? Because when you don't have the time, you do the best with what you have and you start to realize this is good enough. And like, you don't need to be perfect. Good enough is actually totally fine when you're, you know, working and you have young children and you have a lot of responsibilities. Like, you can get a lot of bang for your buck if you are balancing your work with your rest. And I mean, like your intensity with exercise and, you know, just being smart about how you do it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I know you mentioned that, exercise is really good for boosting mood and things like that. So what other benefits would you say, bringing movement, you know, taking even exercise out of the lingo, and just what does movement do for your body and your mindset?
Yeah. I mean, it's so interesting because I just feel like I don't know if you guys can relate to this, but on a day where I am really sedentary, like say for whatever reason, I don't have clients and I have a lot of computer work and I'm feeling very sedentary, I can totally notice that my body feels stiff and achy. And, you know, I might start to get into like sort of a cranky mood and I can't really pinpoint why. Or, you know, even just your, I don't know if I'm going to say this right, like even just your body image starts to decrease. And I find that even just some small amount of movement, whether that is, you know, getting a workout or going for a walk or doing some mobility or literally like doing some breathing, like doing some mindful breathing, that any of those things can just totally shift your perspective and get your head back in the game and get you feeling more positive and, you know, just maybe feeling a little bit less achy, a little bit less stiff, and kind of ready also to tackle whatever the next thing is that you need to get done.
Mm-hmm, well, absolutely. Especially, sorry, yeah, I can completely relate to that. And especially with mom life, with carrying little babies and toddlers and needing to move my body in a way that helps me manage pain and be able to move and have ease. And recently I just started doing like a daily morning practice of doing like 20 minutes of yoga and how that lasts so much longer throughout my day than having that cup of coffee or filling myself up with like chocolates or, you know, just like instant carbs to spike me throughout the day.
Yeah.
And just realizing that shift.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I find I love my morning walk and which is with my kids. So a lot of times this like it's like herding cats. Like there's a lot of wrangling happening. I'm really harnessing all of my patience. But regardless of that, I get them to school and then I get to walk home and like sometimes I do pick up a coffee on the way home. And that just really does set the tone for my day and getting some quiet time or time to listen to a podcast while I'm moving my body or just, you know, time outdoors, it just sort of grounds me and then gets me more prepared for whatever else I need to take on.
Love it.
That's it. I mean, mom life can be a bit of a whirlwind and then throw in, you know, work life and everything in life in general into the mix. Yeah. Sometimes your days can just totally escape you. And you're right. You're at the end of the day, you're exhausted. You're not really sure why. And you've felt like you lost your patience more. So
I think I'm
getting a reminder through all of this to just pause and reset. And I know Katie, you mentioned that today of just having a midday reset where you just like have some time to yourself to reground and regroup for the rest of the day. Cause it's so important to do. Otherwise you just get caught up in this huge whirlwind of a this and that, and then you get spit out at some point and you're like, where the hell am I? You know?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like, I mean, we deserve to do those things for ourselves just so that we feel good and so that we can function. And, you know, like sometimes people will say you can't pour from an empty cup and I'm like, forget about pouring for someone else. Like you just need to be able to like be yourself. Like don't worry about serving other people, but just do what you need to do to feel okay and to feel like you can, you know, move on with your day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we're
so true.
What we're preaching, that, you know, we've got to take care of our own needs in motherhood. We cannot forget about ourselves. And I'm not saying like, you know, only you, not the kid. I get that there's a balance and a harmony that has to come, but we have to take time for ourselves too, because I mean, we know what it feels like to not take the time for yourself, and it is not sustainable.
That's right. And no one else is going to do it for you. Like I know as, you know, the mom that you're going to make sure everyone else is taken care of, but no one's going to take care of you for you. Like you are the one who has to carve that time, steal those moments, really like, you know, take the opportunities to do something positive for your body, add value to your body's bank account, and do those things for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've caught myself being like, why is no one taking care of me? I cook, I clean, I do all this, you know? And then that's the time you got to look in the mirror and be like, oh, right, I've got to take care of you.
That's right. And even just finding the ways to do it in spite of the cooking and in spite of the cleaning, right?
Yes, that's what For sure. That's why we're so happy to have you on the show, so that we can shed this new perspective on what, you know, taking care of ourselves can look like.
Yeah, I mean, it just sort of fits into the little nooks and crannies of your day. It doesn't have to be a dedicated time, because there isn't always dedicated time. And I think for people who are kind of waiting for that right time when they're going to start, there's never going to be that right time, because there's always going to be something else that comes up. Mm-hmm. And
that's, amen.
Yeah, so you just have to just literally take the next opportunity that you have in your life to do that thing for yourself.
Mm-hmm. It starts now.
Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just feel like this applies to so, like, just life and mindset.
Like everything.
Everything. It's just, like, amazing. I yeah. love it. I've been into watching Tony Robbins, and the neighbor just went and saw him live. And so I'm just all hyped up on all these conversations about, you know, choosing the now. And
yeah. And, like, choosing to be positive. And yes. I agree with you. This stuff is important. I think that for most of us, the default mindset isn't to be positive and proactive, and, you know, that we have to make those things happen. We have to sort of make an effort to make those things happen, make mm-hmm. conscious choices to take action and make those things happen.
Mm, and right. The flip side, which is kind of crazy when you look at it, is when you're angry or sad, or, you know, I mean, I'm not saying don't be angry, don't be sad, feel the feels, but, you know, yep. feeding into those emotions actually takes more energy. And it's yes. the positivity and the joy that uplift you and re-energize you. And I mean, I'm all about feeling the feels and not, you know, not allowing yourself to be sad, but it's, you know, not continuing to feed into it. It's, you know, recognizing,
exactly.
it, acknowledging the emotion, and then move on, you know?
Yeah. Totally.
Don't let them be your story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that, you know, that the mundane things and the stressful things will take up a lot of our mental bandwidth just by default. Yeah. And when we can place some focus on positivity, joy, self-care, that those things, we need to place that focus for them to get amplified, because if we don't do that, we're just defaulting to all of the mundane and the things we need to do and the things we have to do. And so, it's kind of on us to choose our perspective.
Yes. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Don't get tied down to the to-do list, because they never end.
Exactly. They'll never go away, ever.
For sure. So, let's talk a little bit more about healing with postpartum, because we all know that growing, birthing a baby, both vaginally and, you know, through C-section, they require so much healing postpartum. And I think sometimes it's easy to forget the transformation that our bodies go through.
Yes.
It's huge. So how do you ease your clients, like, back into fitness postpartum?
I think that it's really important to sort of recognize that immediate postpartum period, like for a period of weeks or months even, that we need to really rest and recover and focus on that, focus on taking care of ourselves and not rush back to intensity right away. So that's definitely something that I support my clients in. And that means that I'm not seeing them necessarily, right? Maybe we're chatting or emailing, or maybe I pop over and, like, we go for a walk and just hang out because I care about them. Mm. But, it's what's best for them. And I think that I help ease them in by trying to really, like, have a team, connect them with a pelvic physio, making sure that they are getting properly assessed, and so that they know what's going on in their body. Because, like you said, every pregnancy is different, every labor and birth are different. And so it's great to have a team to support you so that you know exactly where you're at when you're healing postpartum. And so I generally try to connect my people to someone around 6 weeks, if it's accessible at all, because it's just so, so helpful in that healing process. And then once we can do something like that, we have a lot of really concrete information about what exactly is going on with them. And that helps me to really figure out on a one-on-one basis what that person needs, you know, what they're specifically dealing with in terms of postpartum health and potential issues that could come up. And I just think that recognizing that there is not a one size fits all, you know, sort of program that works for everybody. I've been doing this for long enough and seen a lot of other programs. And every time I see someone else's program, I'm like, but what about this scenario? What about that scenario? There's always a different scenario with every person. And so I think my approach is to just get as much information as I can and then support people on a one-on-one basis, depending on what their physical and emotional needs are.
I love it. I think you nailed it. It's so personal and we all need something different. So beginning to develop that awareness of our body and of our needs is such a great place to start because, yeah, like you said, there are a lot of other professionals out there that can help you with different symptoms or whatever that you're experiencing that you may not be aware of at the time.
100%. And you know, like how many times that a woman is cleared by her OB at 6 weeks and they're like, oh, I'm cleared, I'm fine, I just have to listen to my body. Another air quotes, listen to my body. And yes, I think that that advice is kind of dated because when women don't even necessarily know what they're looking for, listening for, or, you know, we've been sort of told that certain things are normal, like peeing in your pants is normal after you have babies, and it truly isn't. And so I think that it might be common, but it's not normal. And teaching women about what to listen for is really, really important. And, you know, I mean, maybe we'll get into that a little bit more later, but yeah, teaching them what to listen for is really, really important. And then once they know exactly what's going on, teaching them how to connect to their deep core, that's always going to be like a key step in the beginning of retraining postpartum before sort of getting back into exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's so many different ways to exercise, isn't there? I mean, like we kind of already touched base on it before, but you know, exercise is so broad and it can bring in movement. It can bring in small things that you can even just do while you're in bed, even, you know, wiggling your toes, lifting your legs. Like I remember even when I was pregnant, like the leg cramps that I got, and now I've got like a sciatic nerve in my butt. Like, what it all does. So we can even just do little things, whether it's some certain stretch or that can just help relieve some of the tension, help you sleep better, you know, like, come on, I just want to sleep.
Sometimes just the smallest, lowest impact movements, when you start reconnecting to your deep core and learning how to breathe and getting in touch with your pelvic floor and just really learning how your core functions, that you can make any movement more meaningful once you know how to connect to your core.
So true. And then especially like postpartum, like sure, maybe you worked out before and you had a relationship with your core, but not like after a baby's come out of it. Like
that's right.
A whole new body.
Yeah, 100%. And a lot of things can come up there, right? So I mean, anything from abdominal separation, which happens to, I think they're now saying like 99% of women, basically everyone.
I never knew that either.
It's totally normal. It's a part of growing a baby. It's what your body needs to do in order to make space for baby to grow. And so it's totally normal and it's possible to heal from it. And, you know, other things to look for, heaviness in your pelvis, feeling like something is out of place, urinary incontinence, potentially fecal incontinence, back pain during sex. There's just a lot of things to be looking out for in terms of restoring your deep core once you have had a baby, whether it's vaginal or C-section.
Yeah. It's good to know too that this can be something that can be healed postpartum, because I think, you know, I like now that it is, or I'm aware that it's in the conversation, but I still don't know if it's really general knowledge that these things don't have to be your new normal. You don't have to shift, like, pee yourself all the time. These things can be worked with, and there's, you know, people that to know these things. Like, so anyway, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And that, like, I feel that that is the biggest thing, is that when I work with women and when I work in conjunction with pelvic health physios, that our goal is really to get the woman back to the type of exercise that they want to do, but to do that in a way where they are feeling symptom free. So to find workarounds and to figure out strategies and to look at how we're breathing and checking in with our posture and alignment and really kind of trying to minimize and even eliminate any of those uncomfortable symptoms, and just being smart about the way that we work back to the type of exercise that's important to that person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I love it. I love how we're just having these conversations too about what you can experience postpartum. And because I think a lot of the time, especially as new moms, hell, even with more than one kid, you don't really know what to expect, right? Like, I know I was with an OB for a while and I was like in and out within, you know, 10 minutes. And it was like, I couldn't even ask a question, like, never mind what to expect postpartum. And then everyone's different. So you have to bring awareness about what your body can go through and then what you can do to help.
100%. And there's just, you know, there's so much information out there now, and there are so many great pelvic health physios, you know, in the GTA. We're so fortunate in that sense. And there, you know, there's help. You don't have to feel like you're alone in how you're feeling. It is normal to be experiencing all of those symptoms, or rather, it's common to be experiencing a lot of those symptoms. And that just knowing that there are people out there with tools to help you so that you don't have to live like that forever. You don't have to accept it as your new normal.
Yeah. So with that said, what do new moms need to keep in mind when deciding to be active again?
I think, I really think that some of the most important things are having people in your corner who can guide you with proper information. That is definitely something to keep in mind, is working with people who are knowledgeable and not just going to any class that says mom and baby, because sometimes you really see things that are harmful, or just not necessarily well thought out. I think something else to realize is that the mindset around postpartum exercise has changed significantly in the last few years, and where we used to say, do this, don't do that, or like, this is the method that's going to cure everything, that's not the way we look at it anymore. There aren't so many hard rules about do this, don't do that. It is all very much more like symptom-based. What are the movements that are triggering your symptoms? What are those symptoms? And so I think being really mindful of those symptoms that I had mentioned earlier, things like combing or doming in your abs, depending on what movement you're doing. So that would be a sign of abdominal separation, or feeling heaviness in your pelvis, or like something is out of place, could be signs of pelvic organ prolapse, or being aware of back pain or any sort of pelvic pain, any of those sort of symptoms, really approaching your exercise with awareness of all of those things, so that when you're working with someone who is experienced and knows what they're doing, that they can help you to find different positions, different strategies that help you to alleviate those symptoms.
Mm-hmm. And so, to do it safely, which is very important.
100%. And that there are no hard rules. You know, if you, maybe 7 years ago when I first had my daughter, if I would have gone to a pelvic health professional and said, I want to get back to deadlifting 200 pounds, they would have said, that's not a thing that women need to do. But things have changed, and the whole industry now knows, like, we need to support women in what their goals are. So instead of saying, do this, don't do that, we need to find smart ways of getting you to do the things you want to do.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And having someone take the time to ask the questions, you know, to see where you're at, what's important to you, it's very important, you know, just to not, just rush in and just be a part of another group, you know, that maybe it's not as personalized for what you're going through as much as it could be.
I agree. And, you know, I used to teach group classes postnatal, and I actually stopped teaching them. I really only work one-on-one with women who are postnatal, because I got that sense that it was very, very challenging. Excuse me. It was very challenging to give each individual what they need in that group setting, and that every person really does deserve that level of attention and, that level of attention so that they can get the best support possible.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So to kind of end off, I think we've covered a lot today, which is amazing.
It's hard to stop.
I know. It's so true. That's the thing. Once you get going sometimes, and I'm starting to, in my mind, is like connecting different episodes that we've done with each other and, you know, just understanding maybe a big picture of this taking care of ourselves. And it's beautiful because there's different ways to do it. But in a sense, they're all trying to achieve something similar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, this honoring of ourselves, our body, and yeah, it's beautiful. So what would be one self-care tip that we could offer our moms that they could start incorporating in their lives right now to start taking care of their bodies?
Ooh, okay. It's so hard to pick one.
I know.
So I'm going to say two things, actually. The first thing I'm going to say is that sometimes less is more, and just knowing that, mm-hmm. That we need to balance our intensity with our rest. But more importantly than that is that you don't have to wait for the perfect time, that you can literally, when you hear me say this, choose one thing right now, whether that is drinking a glass of water or committing to eating a serving of vegetables at lunchtime or committing to going for a daily walk or committing to going to bed 30 minutes earlier or turning your screens off earlier or taking a vitamin, that you have so many options available to you. It's just a matter of choosing that next action that you're going to take and then practicing that. So choose something super simple, choose the lowest hanging fruit, something that is easy and achievable, get that win under your belt and just practice that until it becomes automatic. And then pick the next one.
I love it because it can be so overwhelming when there's so much to choose from. I know for myself, it's like I almost just like deer in headlights. I'm like, well, there's too many places to go. I just am not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, just choose one. Choose the one thing, practice, master, automate, and then you choose the next one.
Love it. Me too. What amazing wisdom and knowledge and information you provided to us. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Oh my goodness, this has been absolutely amazing. I'm lit up and ready to go for a walk. No, yay. I'll probably go to bed, but still, like tomorrow.
I might have to do a to be continued and like do another one.
I know.
That's awesome. I agree.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Justine. We've been, just totally elated with everything we've learned from you today and can't wait to share it with all of the listeners.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
And we'll make sure to put all of Justine's info up on the website so you can click to her website, her Instagram, and follow everything that she is doing. Thanks for listening. For more amazing podcasts like this one and to learn more about the Mighty Mom Movement, come visit us on our website at www.mightymommovement.com. Stay mighty, mamas.